are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer. Glad to have you back. And today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Welcome back. Hopefully by now you're listening and the Spurs, crossing fingers, got a win yesterday in Chicago. Full disclosure, this is recorded before the Spurs took on the Bulls last night. So what are we going to be talking about today? Well, we're going to be talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. I know how much more can we talk about the big man and him leaving San Antonio? Well, in the previous Locked On Spurs, we started to debate about where LMA ranks among greatest Spurs ever. And we just touched on it, myself and Joe Reinagle of Ken's Five in San Antonio, but we didn't really dive into it. And we're going to do that today. We're going to dive into LMA. Where does his mark on this Spurs franchise rank him among the best players to ever wear the silver and black? And also Coach Popovich, we're going to be talking about him. And is this his best coaching season of his long career? To that and more, I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter, who decided to stand me up last week and not meet up for lunch. I'm still hurt by that.
Oh, yeah. You know, we haven't talked about that. That's my bad.
Yeah, I'm still bummed out.
Yeah, I apologize. That's my
bad.
Don't
worry about it.
Yeah.
You're making it up today by gracing us with your presence right here on Locked On Spurs.
Oh, boy. I'm flattered. Thank you.
It's not often I get a YouTube star, Vieira's an SA. I mean, it's
rare.
Oh, man,
double flattery today. How about this? What did I do to deserve this?
Oh, apparently you didn't do anything to deserve this. This is just me thanking you for taking some time to join me on Locked On Spurs. So, Casey, it's been a while. I know we're going to be talking about the LMA ranking, but just briefly, what are your thoughts on this whole LMA situation? He's going to leave San Antonio, whether it's a trade or a buyout. How do you see this playing out?
I think it's playing out just the way that we expected that it would. I think there were a lot of people going into the start of this season that largely anticipated him being gone by this point, if not even at the start of the season. But here we are, and I think this ultimately does end up with him being bought out. I don't just see a situation with him having an inordinate amount of suitors in terms of getting a high price tag in return or anything like that. But it's not as if, to expand off that thought process, is that it's not as if there's going to be a high demand inquiry as to his availability, which obviously is there. But the way I ultimately think this does end up is that he is bought out. He does end up probably in Portland. That's my guess. Maybe Miami. I know there's a lot of chatter there as well. But going back to your original point, I think this was pretty much par for the course of what we anticipated coming at the start of the year at some point this year. And here we are.
Yep. Yeah, the latest yesterday, Mark Stein reported that Miami is still expected to remain in contention for LaMarcus Aldridge in the buyout market. So it looks like all signs are pointing to that, where this will end between LMA and San Antonio. But eventually it will end by March 25th. Something will give. Spurs will have to decide either just get what they can get or just let them go and let the bidding war begin between teams looking to add him to their roster. But Casey, this begs a question. Where does LMA rank among greatest Spurs ever? I took a stab at this a couple of Locked On Spurs episodes ago, and I think we can just cut to the chase as far as this. We know who the top five are going to be, your big three, Robinson and Gervin. I mean, I think that's set in stone, unless you differ.
No, pretty much in the ballpark, yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So top five done. Now comes the interesting bottom five of the top 10. So in no particular order, okay, this is not, who's better or not. This is just names. They're going to round out the bottom five of the top 10. We throw Kawhi in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. If not at number six.
Fine. Put them at six. Yeah. Fine. But again, this is like a no, you know, power rank. This is just 10 names, you know, we can throw out there, our top 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kawhi gets a spot. So now that leaves four spots.
Elliot.
Captain late, James Silas. He's got to get in there.
Of course.
Okay. So that leaves three spots. Take it away. Who's going to round out your bottom three? I know.
See, that what's tough with the Spurs, man, is like the Spurs are one of the few teams where if you're defining a player's legacy with the franchise, it goes beyond the stats. It goes beyond the X's and O's of things. It's very much a community impact kind of aspect of it. It's just almost a brand ambassador, so to speak, within the city of San Antonio. So if you're using kind of that logic, you throw Sean Elliott into that conversation, you throw Bruce Bowen into that conversation, you throw Patty Mills into that conversation. Yeah. To a lesser degree, you throw Avery Johnson into that conversation. And right now, over all those guys, those four, because we were at two spots left or three spots left?
Three spots left, yeah.
Okay, even at that point, I don't think that you put Aldridge over any of those guys. From a talent standpoint, I mean, he's probably above all of them. But from a cultural impact within the franchise, that aspect of things, altogether, I don't see how you put him above any of them. I don't. And it's unfortunate. Oh, no, go ahead. Continue your thought.
No. I want you to continue because I was going to round out my three and I was going to get you to react. So go ahead and finish your statement.
Well, I think the now I lost my train of thought.
All right,
it'll come back. It'll come back to me.
Okay.
Say what you were going to say.
Yeah. Okay, so let me give you my final three. Okay, and so again, this is in no particular order, no power ranking. This is just three names that I think are in the top 10, and unfortunately, that does not include LMA. Say what you will about him off the court, but on the court, Alvin Robertson was a beast. He was a monster. It was to the point where generational guys like Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, I think they did an interview way back in the day with Sports Illustrated about Robertson, and they say they feared him. It was to that level. Only guy to record a quad dub one of four to record a quad double in NBA history. Defensive player of the year, multiple all-star, multiple defensive first team honors. The list goes on and on and on. Holds, I think, one of the records for most steals in San Antonio in a Spurs uniform. If he doesn't have it, then he's up there in the top three. His impact on the court is tremendous. Say what you will off the court. I know that's a whole other story, but on the court, he was a monster. So final two. Well, let me just get it out there now. Let's get your react. Dennis Rodman. What do you think about Dennis Rodman in that top 10?
I mean,
for the short time he was in San Antonio, I mean,
that's the only argument. See, that's how many years ultimately was Rodman in San Antonio?
I think about two or one and a half, two, something like that.
Okay.
It was short.
I would say no.
Okay.
Probably. I'd probably go no.
Yeah. I have him in the top 10.
Okay.
And he had his career high rebounding average as a Spur, 17 and a half per game. That was not a Bull, not a Piston, as a Spur.
Right. But it's tough to say, though, because it's one of those things where he wasn't here for very long. But clearly, if he was here for a reasonable amount of time, then all those Bulls years that you might have seen, they easily could have translated to San Antonio.
Right.
I don't want to say easily. Easily might be a stretch, but it's not like when they dumped him, he was a scrub.
Well, you have guys like Kenny Smith, who played with the Rockets team back in the late 90s that faced the power Spurs team that featured Rodman. And he openly admitted, speaking on open court on NBA TV, saying that when Houston had to face the Spurs with Rodman, they feared that the Rockets till today think that it was actually the Spurs that were the better team in 95 in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. and that when they would find out that Rodman was not going to play a game in the playoffs, that they cheered in the locker room. I mean, that's how much of an impact on the court he made, and he made San Antonio that much better. We'll continue our chat with Casey in just a minute, but we teased it at the intro. Well, let's talk about it now, Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. At 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's pretty much a joy to drink. And enjoyment doesn't have to end when the game is over. You get yourself a Michelob Ultra six-pack or a single right now. Look, it's one of the best-tasting beers out there. Low calories, 95 calories, that's it. 2.6 carbs, what can you not get by getting your own case of the Michelob Ultra? Later on the show, we'll be giving out the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. But as always, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Once again, this episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. And while I have you here, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but college NBA, college basketball and NBA, they're full swing, as is the NHL. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best place to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and use promo code LOCKEDON.
I mean, the big part against him is the fact that he doesn't have the longevity standpoint as any of those other guys I think we threw in there. But okay, continue. Who's your last?
Now, this is where I struggle because I'm between two. I got Sean Elliott and Larry Keenan, and I give it to Larry Keenan because I think statistically he was better than Sean. And then I believe he won an ABA title. I don't think that he did that with ABA Spurs, but he did come into San Antonio with an ABA title. Just the numbers were just incredible. I'm going to look them up right now, but, I think he gets lost in the greatest Spurs from the days of the ABA and the early NBA Spurs. It's a shame that his number is not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of those guys like that.
Well, he played with the San Antonio organization, whether that be in the ABA or in the NBA. And he averaged 20.7 points per game as a Spur. His best was 21.9 per game in 76-77 with the San Antonio NBA Spurs. And Special K was very special. He was a power forward, righty guy. He was a combo guy. He was almost like that combo player before combo players are the thing that you see in the NBA now.
Yeah.
He was durable. In 76-77, played 78 games, 81 games in the following season, 78 games in his final season as a Spur. And even in his final season as a Spur, 20.1 points per game. He gets lost in all this as far as greatest Spurs ever to wear the silver and black. He averaged, his rebounding totals were just insane too. He averaged 10.3 for his career as a Spur. 10.3, the double-double, yeah. And I think he rounds out my top 10 there, and I would push Sean Elliott 11. Okay. How do you round out your top 10?
I would probably – so who did I have left over there? I had – see, keep in mind you have a couple of years. You have a couple of years on me, and I always have a hard time when it comes to splitting hairs, these kind of things. I always have a hard time identifying guys who – are well beyond my time, not necessarily call them your time, but you know what I mean? Kind of like when the kid who says, oh, Babe Ruth is my favorite baseball player. You never even saw Babe Ruth play. You know what I mean? So I can't, for the sake of just being fair here, I can't throw any of the ABA guys in there just because it's not overly.
Memories of seeing Larry Keenan play. I mean, barely. I remember vividly George Gervin playing, going to the Hemisphere Arena and watching him. But I believe I have some memories of him. And, man, they were a 1-2 punch for them. But go ahead. I'm sorry. So I think you stopped at six. I think six was Kawhi, and then you still got four spots, I believe.
No, whoever we had was up until I had Elliot for the remaining spots. I had Elliot. I think I just went Elliot, Bruce Bowen, Patty Mills, mainly because I just really think that cultural impact of things really makes a difference in this town. And to, you know, it's unfortunate for Aldridge and with him leaving right now, there's really a very big narrative, kind of almost a sour taste. I feel like a lot of Spurs fans have when he had that trade request prior to the 17-18 season. And I think a lot of people just never really experienced that. And, and ironically enough, the following year, they experienced it even more with Kawhi wanting out. But at the time, it's kind of like, well, you don't want to play for us. We don't want you here anyways. Right. And I feel like that narrative never really, that stigma never really left Aldridge, even after he and Pop worked things out and things were smoothed over a little bit. It was still there. And it was almost kind of like one of those things where he was just in a no-win spot to begin with, Aldridge, because you're going in replacing Duncan, or thought to be the guy replacing Duncan. Huge shoes to fill. Supposed to be that gap between past and present, teaming up with Kawhi for however X many years to go. That, of course, doesn't work out the way that it does. But still, that hype that he came in with was pretty much exactly that. I mean, he was the big free agent on the market that season, and the Spurs got him, and rightfully so. There was a pretty good buzz about him when he got here. But I think when it comes to putting him in the top 10 in that capacity, so much of the winning aspect of things weighs a lot. And he never, when it really counted in terms of getting championships, when it counts here, he never did that. And the cultural community aspect of how he fits in San Antonio, it never really felt like he did fit, or at least, you know what I mean? That comparatively speaking to the others, it just, he didn't have that same sense of endearment. And part of it seemed self-inflicted with the trade stuff. Another other just kind of, you know, just never really kind of meshing in. So as a result of that, I'm not putting him in my top 10. No.
Yeah. And you mentioned the cultural impact. Unless he did it, you know, silently, but you never really saw him out there in the community in San Antonio. Maybe he did. No. Maybe I'm forgetting a couple of things. Maybe he did, and he, you know, raised money for this. But you didn't really see like Duncan or Mills or Robinson. Like, it's never at that level.
Yeah, and but to be fair, that's not really like his personality. I mean, he's always been a reserved guy. He's never been a guy to kind of go up there and ask for a limelight one way or another. It's just part of his personality. And when it's just kind of a, you know, boring personality for a city that's so much that this team endears to, well, it kind of goes a long way in terms of a perception about it, the public's perception about it. And that's kind of where it is. And that's kind of his legacy. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
Yeah. And it feels like LMA's time in SA was like a blink. I don't know why it feels that way. It feels
went
like
by fast. It feels like he just signed, right?
Like he feels like he just signed. And you credit for what he did, especially in the effed up season with Kawhi Leonard and his antics. He shouldered this team. Remember, it was supposed to be him and Kawhi leading the squad that season Kawhi was throwing a hissy fit about getting out of San Antonio. And if it wasn't for his heroics, you know, maybe the Spurs don't make the postseason that year. No. I mean, you still had Manu, yes, and you still had Tony, but LMA was really carrying the load that year. So kudos to him. Like, he made an all-star as a Spur.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. It's not like he was a scrub when he played here.
Right.
He was an all-star. He largely, with the exception of the last couple years, from a talent standpoint, from a rational talent standpoint, not going in there expecting him to be Duncan, but realistic expectations, he pretty much lived up to him, right?
Yeah, I mean, and kudos to him because he tried. to change with the times on the fly in San Antonio. They got younger. He went out and lost weight. It's a three-point shooting league. He worked on a three-point shot, and you saw it this season that he was capable of making them, and he did make them. So you applaud him for that, but it just feels like it was a marriage that was set to doom. That's what it felt like, and through no fault of his own. I mean, who's going to anticipate Kawhi throwing the fit that he did? Who's going to anticipate the league changing its style of play and that all teams are adopting? And then you get him on the back end of his career at this point. And I know a lot of some argue that, well, he should be one of the greatest Spurs because he picked San Antonio when he was a free agent. But I mean, the choices were very slim.
He had LA, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the Lakers that whiffed on their pitch. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit, but I want to talk to you about rockauto.com, which is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all auto and body parts that you can think of from hundreds of manufacturers. You need new carpet, motor oil, tail lamps, they got it all over at rockauto.com. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. That website, it's easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle right then and there. You can choose a brand, specification, and the prices you prefer. And those prices are always reliably low over at rockauto.com. So don't go spending up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in there. How did you hear about us? Box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And we've been telling you about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar in the market for a while now. Yeah, that protein bar, the Built Bar. Yeah, it's an amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best because it's Built Bar Madness. Go to BuiltBar.com right now to see all of the matchups. It's heating up among the flavors. I'm hoping my flavor, Churro Puff, is still in the mix, but hey, you know, if it isn't, you definitely need to get yourself a box of those Churro Puffs over at BuiltBar.com. Remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back over at BuiltBar.com to see who won today's matchups and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Yet the Suns that were still at that time not the greatest team that they're getting to right now, and yet the Spurs,
Knicks, but they wanted to move him to the five,
right?
Because they had Porzingis, they wanted to leave Porzingis at the four. It's kind of ironic how it turned out both ways, but whatever. Yeah, back to your original point.
And then you have the Spurs that still had Parker, they still had Duncan, they still had Ginobili. They had this up-and-comer named Kawhi Leonard. They had a young, promising rookie, or at least a young guard, DeJounte Murray. So, yeah, I mean, and he's from Texas, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so it made sense for him to come to San Antonio. So I think the choice was pretty easy for him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And look, he's the biggest free agent the Spurs were ever to get in their history. I've been racking my brain. I cannot think of a free agent.
He's the largest signing in franchise history. I don't think that one's debatable.
So, I mean, kudos to him, but I guess this begs the question, then where does he land if he's not in your top 10, your top 15?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm right there
if you exclude the ABA again, because I don't want to go up here and classify myself as an ABA savant over here and you know, make me look like I know what I'm talking about when I don't. If you exclude the ABA days, I think so. I think he's top 15. Yeah.
All right. Let's try then. So then we got our individual top 10 set. Okay. So let's go to 11 now. I got Sean Elliott at 11.
Okay.
Okay. Then I got Johnny Moore, another ABA guy. So before your time.
Yeah.
At 12. I have Artis Gilmore. At 13, another ABA guy. Okay.
Yeah.
And then this is right. Then LMA is going to fall under 14 or 15. I got Bruce Bowen in there. Again, this is not a power ranking. This is not, he's number 14 because I think he's ahead of this guy. No, these are just names. I got Bruce Bowen in there, and then I got LMA. You know, the guy so that gave up his 14, number 15. That he got retired. And he said,
Ironically enough. Yeah. Yeah. Ironically enough. So that's 15 you have him at?
Again, that is not in no particular. That's just those are my 15 guys.
Within your top 15. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'm in the same boat. I think that's that kind of category, that conversation where you throw the names like the Avery Johnsons of the world in there in that conversation. And I'm trying to think more recent, maybe guys who didn't win a championship.
What do you mean?
Maybe didn't win a title in San Antonio, but still had notable careers.
Maybe not now.
Within the ABA.
Post ABA.
So we'll say like Robinson's early years.
Okay, Robinson. Probably not.
So you put Aldridge in that top 15 for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
you know
there's a lot of forgotten ABA early NBA Spurs in this mix. You know, you have Kobe Dietrich. You know, big man. He was Pirtle before Pirtle. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
that's how he played back in the day. Guy was a defensive beast. Yeah, the Bruce brothers, those guys, Mike Mitchell, Dietrich, etc. Yeah. But yeah, Casey, a little lesson here. Gather around the campfire, kids. Back in the day, the Spurs actually were almost bad boys like. Yes, they were. Very Detroit Pistons style of play. And they had this group of guys that were called the Bruce brothers, and they would put a hurting on you back in the early Spurs. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting conversation because we know LMA is exiting soon. Again, his days are numbered here in San Antonio, just a few more days before something has to give. And at the end of the day, Casey, I think it's going to be a buyout. I mean, why would a team want to give up an asset for him? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
I mean, you can just.
No, I agree. I just, especially when that asset is. Yeah, for the Spurs standpoint, it's not going to be anything notable as well.
You know, and if the trade is presented, I would want picks, and I don't care if they're second round picks, mid picks, you know, something like that. I would rather stock up on picks. Just give me some second rounders. I'm good with that because you only have one roster spot open. I mean, unless a team is willing to give you a young, promising guy, I mean, go for it. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I'll be like, you know what? Team X that we're going to do a potential deal with, fine. Throw in a guy you want to dump a salary, fine. But just give us some picks, and I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You take anything you can get.
You're going to frame your LaMarcus Aldridge jersey?
A lot of people invested when they got here. A lot of people invested in those, right? Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, what is your favorite memory of LMA in a Spurs uniform?
Oh, I feel like it's a lot of very modest memories, you know?
You see what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
It feels weird, right? Like, what did he do in San Antonio? And I know he has the numbers, but it felt like those big games were far and few between.
Yeah, what did, like, I don't know. It's like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, you look at his game logs as a Spur, and he was a double-double machine. He had those games, especially against OKC, where he just went off. Everybody remembers that national TV game where he just poured in 56 points. DeMar DeRozan crashing his post-game interview and pouring Gatorade on him, I think, or water. So he had a bunch of those kind of games, but, you know, he tried versus OKC in the playoffs. I mean, it really wasn't, but OKC shut him down. I mean, I think they threw Ibaka and Adams at him, and he had no help. It just wasn't working out. I think that was his best year as a Spur, ironically, with the Kawhi Leonard debacle. I mean, that was the year.
Right.
So, yeah, we will see what happens to LMA in the near future. Again, all signs are pointing to a buyout, but you never know the Spurs. Hey, we didn't know this was even happening, and Pop is the one that dropped the pop bomb on everybody. So who knows? Maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast may be irrelevant right now, because knowing the Spurs, they probably would have done something before this gets out there. All right. Casey, let's go ahead and shift gears now. And talk about Coach Popovich. And look, just when you think there's no more, you know, tricks in his bag, he pops out another one. And you're seeing it right now this season in San Antonio. A lot of us, including myself and you, had this team done even before the regular season even started. What's this team going to do? You know, a bunch of kids, you know, minimal NBA experience. Got a bunch of aging vets. What are they going to do? A DeMar DeRozan that's likely going to leave at that time, rest of the thought. I mean, we're really going to see Pop and this team struggle. But lo and behold, they're exceeding expectations. They're in the playoff mix. They're looking good. The young guys are blossoming before our eyes. Is this Popovich's best season coaching?
Certainly in recent memory, I think. Certainly in recent memory, because with so many unknowns coming into this year, from that standpoint, definitely. But also from the standpoint of that, you haven't really seen Pop be in a position where he has to almost kind of start from scratch or really mold the young guys for the better part of almost 20 plus years where he's had to do that. And now that he's back in that spot, I think a lot of people were kind of questioning if he wanted to do that and if he was still really if he was going to enjoy it. Because the narrative, the thought process was that if you're a coach that's certainly on the latter ends of your coaching years and you've had that championship caliber for, again, 20 years, why would you want to go through the reboot here? Why would you want to go through the rebuild? So the fact that, one, he stuck around for it, which I think was, five years ago, I probably would not have expected him to still be here to stick around for something like that. That's an interesting aspect of it, one. And two, it's working. It's working. I mean, they're playing solid basketball. They're not far from a perfect product, but it's working. They're a talented basketball team. I don't know how this thing ends, whether they make the playoffs or not, but I will say that the fact that they're competing goes a long way. I don't know. I think a lot of it is perspective when you how you classify expectations of what would be or would not be some of the greatest coaching jobs based on a talent standpoint. You can make the case when they won 67 games the year they lost to the Thunder in the second round. Well, won 67 games. I mean, that's pretty damn good. So are you calling that one of the greatest coaching jobs ever? Maybe, even though they didn't win a championship, they're not going to win a championship this year. All in all, though, largely, this is one of the better jobs definitely that he's done in his career, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting the best out of guys that you wouldn't think that would rise to the occasion, you know, based on maybe their draft position. I know it's very, very early, but you're starting to see some signs of life out of Luka Šamanić. You're seeing what they did with Trey Jones. I mean, how did this guy fall in the second round right to their laps? It's unbelievable, but there he is. You're seeing DeJounte Murray explode on the scene this season. Derek White is taking some time. You know, he's been dealing with injuries and COVID and et cetera, but you got to wonder that, wow, is this one of his best? And I might argue it is, because it's easy when you have guys by the name of Duncan, Robinson, Kawhi, Manu, right. Tony, you know, it's easy. You know, those guys are pretty much coaches on the court as well. And they command right. that respect from players right. that are out there with them. So maybe it was a little easier for him, but now he doesn't have that star power. No. Now it's not there. I mean, again, there's no slide on DeMar DeRozan. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is great, but DeMar DeRozan is not in that upper crust players like the players that we just mentioned. So correct. Kudos to him. And even without DeMar DeRozan, he's been out of, in and out of the lineup this season. The Spurs are still finding ways to win without their veteran. Yes, I know they got pummeled in Philadelphia, but they rebounded well against Detroit, a team they should beat. And hopefully by the time we listen to the show, they got a win over the Bulls. But you factor all this in and you got to wonder if this is his best. It'll be interesting to see if he's ever asked that question. And I think I don't want to ask that because I just got popped a couple of days ago. All because I asked about Quindar. Yeah, I did. It was not one of his worst that I've seen him do to other people, but it was more of like, come on, Jeff, think about it. You know, because I had asked him about one of the young guys, the forgotten Spur, Weatherspoon. And maybe I should have approached the question differently. Maybe I should have said, hey, did you happen to catch Quindary playing in the G League? Maybe I should have started it that way. I just dive right into it. I said, what are your thoughts on the process development of Weatherspoon? And he stopped, looked at the camera and goes, he's been hurt, just like that. So I kind of qualify my question. Then I go like, okay, well, he played in the G League. And then I think Pop kind of put it together and he goes, took a big sigh of relief and goes, he's getting his legs back. I didn't see the G League. I was too busy. And then that was it. But I knew he didn't like the question because when I said, thank you very much, he usually responds to everybody with a, you're welcome. He didn't do it for me. So I don't think it went well over.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I know. But my point is that but he's still in rare form. He's still, you know, when it comes to dealing with us, but my point is that I think you look at what he has with this collection of players and to get the best out of them is great. You know, we've seen it before, named by Danny Green, you know, got the best out of him. Brent Forbes got the best he could out of him when he was in San Antonio. And you're seeing this now, but he has a bunch of skilled players. My thing is, if he sticks around longer than this season, maybe one more, I don't know. Casey, there's going to come to a point where these guys are going to blossom, like to a point where maybe you can't keep them all and you can't pay them all.
That's going to come to
a point. Yeah,
definitely not. I mean, Lonnie Walker, I think, is going to be the first to go. I think Lonnie is going to be the first to go from the standpoint of Lonnie's going to be the first to go from the standpoint of, I don't think the Spurs with what they have, just so much depth in the backcourt. Why, especially with Vassell coming a little bit more onto the scene now, there's going to be an odd man out, and there's not enough, to use the Jerry Jones analogy, when he said signing Zeke was going on a couple of years ago, was that there's only so much pie to give out, and there's so many slices of the pie to give, and some of it will be contingent on what happens with DeRozan. If DeRozan's not coming back, then all right, then that conversation might change a little bit. But
yeah, absolutely.
There appears to be more signs that DeRozan is staying than he isn't. Mind you, it's not huge signs, but more indication it feels like that he is staying as opposed to is not. And if that's the case, then Lonnie's going to be the first to go, just from a pure numbers game, that the Spurs in all likelihood are not going to be the ones to give up that money when they have so much depth already at that wing position. They're not going to do it. But I agree. The general principle is, even if it isn't Lonnie, somebody's going to get moved, and you can make a case for honestly just about everyone. You can make a case for just about everyone in that conversation. You'll have the people who are a little bit critical and honestly rightfully so of Derek White's long-term future in San Antonio, because this season, largely for the most part, has been cautionary. For a guy who just signed a 4-year deal and has been essentially MIA for, you know, 75% of it, expectedly, it's going to cause some fans to raise their eyebrows a little bit.
Right.
Some people are looking at DeJounte Murray and they're saying, hey, he might be our best trade asset if we're going to get something good.
Yep.
Point being, though, is that these conversations are going to be had about all these guys, whether it happens now or it happens this time next year.
Yeah. Yeah, something's going to give. And I think if it gets to that point, and that's another pat on the back for Popovich, and look what he's be able to raise their stock, so to speak, under his care, under his teaching, his tutelage, to get them to the point where they're going to be wanted players by teams if they want to deal with San Antonio. Maybe Team X needs a young wing player, dynamic, explosive, athletic. Hey, Spurs, how about Lonnie Walker? Well, look what we've done with Lonnie. How are we going to flip him? You know, I mean, that's a viable thing they can go with down the road. And again, that's a credit to him, Popovich, that is, for him building these guys up. But yeah, I mean, I may argue this is probably one of his best coaching seasons. I mean, would you throw in the Kawhi Leonard season, going through all that, you know, rigmarole and the drama? I mean, for him,
the final season?
Where Kawhi was sitting out for almost, where he played only 9 games that season.
I mean, that team
they went out in the first round, but they've been doing that lately when they've been making the plays, and they've just been first round and out guys now.
Yeah, probably not.
No,
I don't think so. Probably not. Comparatively speaking to other, some of the other jobs that he's done, like I would put the 67 wins above that.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd put
who's
the 67
on that 67
wins.
Who was on that 67 wins?
Team was loaded, man.
Right?
The team was loaded.
The big three were still viable, right?
Yeah, it was more kind of the corpse of Tim Duncan at that point, but that was the year he was benched.
Right.
Went in that that 15-16 second round series where all of us pretty much had San Antonio Golden State penned in at that point, which in hindsight was actually kind of silly when you have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook in their prime on the other side of the equation. Mm-hmm. So in hindsight, that was probably silly that a lot of people did that. Then again, myself included. So, but I mean, I was one yeah. The way those two teams were playing, but I mean, that squad was loaded. That squad was in the running for 70 wins for a good part of the season. I mean, Golden State went 73-9 that year. And
the Spurs were nipping at their heels. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Spurs were still – it's not like the Golden State won that far and away. Largely for a good part of the season, the Spurs were, like you said, nipping at their heels. They didn't run away. And I mean, had that season finished differently, that's probably the greatest Spurs team of all time. Probably. If the Spurs win a championship year – That's probably the greatest Spurs team of all time, right?
To beat a 73-win Warriors team, if they were to do that, yeah, that would have been a great accomplishment for the
and then probably the best team that LeBron played with in Cleveland. Not probably, it was the best team LeBron played with in Cleveland.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I don't see how there's much argument otherwise when you consider that road to the what it would have been the road to the title. But
well,
anyways,
now we
point
have,
being that 67-win team was good.
Yeah. Well, now we have fodder for another lockdown Spurs down the road, which is Popovich's best season ever. So, yay. Way to go, Casey.
Best Spurs team? What's the best Spurs team to not win a title?
Pencil that down right now, everybody. Could that's that what's going to come up on lockdown Spurs sometime down the road. All right. We're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about LMA and your memories of him? And where does he rank in your greatest Spurs of all time? We know he's probably not on your Mount Rushmore, but does he round out your top 10, or is he far out of even the top 15? We need to know. And also, is this Popovich's best season coaching in San Antonio? Casey, tell them how they can chat with you, and also about the latest and greatest. What's going on at Vieira's
Essay? The latest and the greatest. Whoa. Follow us on social media, Vieira's Essay. On Instagram, and look us up on YouTube, Vieira's an Essay, and follow me on the good old Twitter machine at Casey_Vieira.
Easy as that. And check out Vieira's an Essay. It's a very entertaining and, you know, really informative too. If you're looking to break into the sports media world, you got to see the one that Casey recently did. Gives you some advice on how to navigate those waters.
I do offer some I guess reasonable content, mature content at some point, life experiences every now and then. And that was this last one.
Yeah. I experienced a life event too myself when Casey stood me up for lunch. So, but you know, that was a very impactful life event for me.
Apologies.
I'm just messing with you, Casey. I know you were having fun out there with your wife, man. I get it. All
hey,
good.
City
all
ain't
good.
Dead, man. I don't care what anyone says. New York City ain't dead.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, though, nevertheless.
It's taking a little beating, but it ain't dead.
As for me, you can, first of all, subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Radio.com, and much, much more. And also, we've been teasing it this segment. So let's go ahead and give it out now. Who is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week? I wasn't going to give it to Casey Vieira, but I don't think he deserves it. But I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to give, you know what? I'll give you the honors. Who do you think has been playing the best this week?
Who do I think has been playing the best?
Yeah. Who gets the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week?
I don't know, man. Rudy Gay looked all right. He had that clunker against Philly the other day.
Yeah, well, if I'm just basing it on consistency, then I'm going to give it to DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, I was probably thinking that too. Yeah. I was trying to get cute and creative outside the box a little bit, but Lard, yeah, you'd have to go DeJounte.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray's been playing great, especially DeMar DeRozan's absence, and even just when DeMar is in uniform, DeJounte's really up in his game, double-figure scoring, double-figure rebounding, getting out there and being a vocal leader, and even when the game is over, he's there cheering up his friends, his teammates, as they exit the court, whether it be a win or loss, so he's always there for his teammate. DeJounte Murray gets the Ultra Player of the Week via Michelob Ultra. Also, again, subscribe to Locked On Spurs, as I mentioned, and follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.